The truth lives.
Political Bombshell, starring Rayshon Blyden.
This one is dedicated for all the workers that work 9 to 5. If you wanna party, yeah. Hey, it's Friday, let's party tonight. Party, baby, it's Friday. Yes, it is. Gonna party,
and I'm gonna party and get my groove on.
Get my groove on.
It's Friday.
It's Friday, baby. Meet the baby.
And I'm gonna party till the break of dawn.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Well, hello there. Welcome to Political Bomb Show. Your lovely host, Rayshon Blyden, a very stressful but excited host. Nothing could be better than being on the verge of becoming a homeowner. My mom, I have to bounce off of her because there's not too many people, or no one actually, I could bounce off of right now. Just her. There's no one around. But so I said to her, hey, guess what, Ma? The appraisal is spot on. So I'm expecting to a response like, all right, son, that's great. I got a response, what's spot on? I keep forgetting my mother's an island woman. She does not compute some of the language, but come on, everyone's heard of spot on. I was like, you really never heard of spot on? Really, Ma? She was like, You've been away too long in the States. So maybe I have been away too long in the States, but you'd think she would know what spot on means. But anywho, yes, the appraisal went through just fine, and I feel like things are definitely starting to look up. I am very excited and very happy the way how things are going right now, because I feel like the first half of my life on Earth was very rough, very, very rough. So I think that my second half of my life is going to be a lot better. God has somehow made it like this, so I'm very happy that the second half of my life, when I say the second half, I mean on Earth, because I believe in life after death, of course, but my second half of life here on Earth is going to be, it's going to be great, because I'm so completely different than the first half of how I used to be. And so I've been rewarded by being a homeowner. Now I can't take it for granted. I still have to remain responsible. I can't slack off and go back into the old me. I can't do that. So, and I won't do that. I'm going to take the responsibility really seriously. And I know I am, because I'm not that guy anymore. So I am very, very excited and happy at the same time. And we'll see. We will see. I'm telling you, I'm not an Amazon fan. Not because I'm not. Well, I like Amazon, but I hate them. I have a love-hate relationship. Basically, I don't like the fact that they're a monopoly, but I also like the fact that I get bargains on there. And I've been finding myself every free time that I have here just kicking back and saving things that I want for my home. That's the good thing about shopping online. eBay, I've been doing it too, but where I've been looking for stuff and say, oh, I like this, and I save it in my list. And I like that because I can go back later and buy them one by one, the things that I like. I don't have to buy everything. Like, for instance, like locks. I want a certain kind of lock. So I've been looking and seeing the ones I like and saving them. Then when the time comes, I will buy, and I'll buy like in order of importance, of course. For instance, not that the seller would do such a thing, but I will definitely change the outer locks first, because you know that's just common sense to me. I don't think people, I mean, there are bad people out there, but I don't think that the owner, he seems really nice. I don't think that he would keep duplicate copies of the key, especially knowing that the house has an alarm anyway. But I think that's the first thing a normal person does when they buy a house, is you change the locks. You change the locks, and so the outer lock, you start with the outer locks anyway, and then you could take your time on the inner lock. So, and with my home, this happened to have a lot of outer locks. You'd think, generally speaking, outer locks would be two doors, a front door and a back door, but you got a front door, you got the side door, you got the back door, and another door, and another door. No, not exaggerating. You got like one. I'm gonna need to like three locks, at least three locks, front, side, and back. I'll start with those, and then go from there. But just stuff, I'm like spending every hour that I'm not packing and throwing stuff out on Amazon and eBay, saving things. So and it's great. You know how they say everyone should have a friend that's a mechanic or a doctor and a computer guy in your life, because you never know. Well, add to the list now, if you are a homeowner, everyone should have a plumber, an electrician, a masonist, and what else? Did I miss one? Well, those three that I know of. And a carpenter in your life, because especially if you're not buying a new house from scratch, you need them in your life. And so, can't burn your bridges with those kind of folks in your life. You need them. So, I'm very excited, and I feel like that's all I'm taking, all I talk about these days. Well, can you blame me? You can't blame me for that anyway. Let me take a break and come back and get into some news right after this.
It was almost Christmas time, and there I stood in another line, trying to buy that last gift or two, not really in the Christmas mood. Standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously, pacing round like little boys do, and in his hands he held a pair of shoes. And his clothes were worn and old, he was dirty from head to toe, and when it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight. They counted pennies for what seemed like years. Then the cashier said, son, there's not enough here. He searched his pockets frantically. Then he turned and he looked at me. He said, mama made Christmas good at our house, though most years she just did without. Tell me, sir, what am I gonna do? Somehow I've gotta buy her these Christmas shoes. So I laid the money down, I just had to help him out. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he said, mama's gonna look so great. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight. I knew that I caught a glimpse of heaven's love as he thanked me and ran out. I knew that God had sent that little boy to remind me what Christmas is all about.
Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size.
Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus tonight.
I want her to look beautiful if mama meets Jesus.
Tonight. Welcome back on this lovely TGIF. It is I, your host, Rayshon Blyden, but you know who I am. Before I get to the news, let me just talk about something that was running through my mind. You know, when I took the first-time homeowner class, one of the golden rules that they said, do not, I repeat, do not fall in love with a house unless you know that it's yours. They said, wait until you make an offer, the seller accepts your offer, you get an inspection and appraisal, then you fall in love. You fall in love anytime before that, and the chances are things could go wrong. For instance, you could go to your inspection and there's so many things wrong and the seller don't want to fix it, you could change your mind and back out. So that's why they say you wait until your end of the appraisal. If the house is not valued at what it's supposed to be, then you could also back out then. So that's why they say wait until then. I made the mistake, and I still remember the address, 36 Melvin in Chicopee. I still remember it because I fell deep, deep in love with it. And the thing is, it had so many problems. The roof was leaking. I still fell in love with it. And when I went, it's because once I went inside, it was a two-car garage. And the house was huge. That's what she said. All right, guys, quiet. So it had this kind of Hawaiian wood stuff inside there. That was, I don't know how to, it just looked good. But it was a mess. The ceiling, because the leaky roof was a mess. The sheetrock on the walls was a mess. So then I went down to the basement and I fell even more in love because the basement was perfect for a podcast and a music studio. There was nothing I needed to do. I didn't need to renovate it. That was the best part of that house. But there was so much problems. And I thought to myself, you know what? Now that I got the home that I have now, it's smaller. It's a one-car garage, not a two-car garage. The basement is finished, but it needs to be renovated so I could make it into my space down there. But I thought about it and said, you know what? God gives you what you need, not what you want. And I wanted the bigger house, but I didn't need the bigger house. So he's given me what I need and not what I wanted. It took me a while to understand the difference between needing and wanting something. And so I am glad that I got what I need. And yes, I am this much closer because all the ducks are in a row, you know. My offer was accepted. The inspection went well. They're going to take care of what they need to take care of. The appraisal was spot on. Right, Mom? And so now closing and finalizing the loan for me to sign. So, or not in that order. However, anyway, I'm excited. All right, let's get into some news. I feel like I haven't done news in a while. See, there you go. The first thing I see. Sears down to last 24 hours, retailer to liquidate if no bid comes. So that's music to a new homeowner ears, which is me. So I am definitely going to read this story. This is of real great interest to me because I know I need a stove. That is number one because I didn't want the electric range that they have. I don't like cooking on it with electric. It tastes much better when you cook at a gas stove, and that's what I want, a gas stove. Yes, Mr. Blyden, but there's no gas. Okay, that's my business. I'm not going to talk about everything. Only a fool divulges everything. Okay, so Sears may be down to its last 24 hours. Iconic retailer likely liquidates if no bid comes in tomorrow. So let's see here. Sears, the 125-year-old icon, has 24 hours to survive. The employer of more than 68,000 filed for bankruptcy in October. Its last shot at survival is a $4.6 billion proposal put forward by its chairman, Eddie Lambert, to buy the company out of bankruptcy to his hedge Fund, ESL Investments. ESL is the only party offering to buy shares as a whole. People familiar with the situation tell CNBC, without the bid or another like it, liquidators will break the company up into pieces. But as Lambert stares down a deadline of December 28th, that's today, by the way, to submit his offer, he is quickly running out of time. As of Thursday afternoon, Lambert had neither submitted his bid nor rounded up financing. The people familiar said, should Lambert submit a bid, Sears advisors would have until January 4th to decide whether he is a qualified bidder. Only then could ESL take part in an auction against liquidation bids on January 14th. January 14th, 3 days away from something major for me. It is possible Lambert, Sears' largest investor, secures financing in time to meet the deadline, these people said. The hedge fund manager turned retailer has managed last minute feats before. Due to requirements by the Securities and Exchange Commission, Lambert will be required to make his bid public. The stipulation that could sway him to prolong the filing until its exact deadline of 4 p.m. Eastern Time Friday. Nonetheless, the quickly approaching cutoff puts Sears the closest to death it has ever been. I wonder if JCPenney's is also dead yet. I know, I think there's still some JCPenney's around. Not many of them. Not many, but you gotta blame Amazon. I'm sorry, but Amazon is killing off these retailers. I'm sorry to put it that way, but it really is. This is why I'm a perfect example. I'm looking for stuff for my new house, and where am I looking? Online. In Amazon. eBay too, to be fair, but not as much. I'm mostly in Amazon saving things, but you know, it's just I'm a consumer first, and then I'll gripe about the monopolizing of Amazon. But I'm a consumer first. Money has to be budgeted right, because as you know, I'm a homeowner now. I'm a responsible homeowner, so I have to budget the money right, and I'm gonna have to go for bargains, and bargains are plentiful in Amazon, I'm sorry. And so I have no choice. You know, if money wasn't an issue, well, then I could go to these stores. But I don't know. Anyway, I'll be keeping an eye on it. I'm specifically going to be looking for a gas stove. That's the most priority. That's the top priority one I need, a gas stove. If I could get it at a bargain with a store closing, I'm going to get that. Secondary is a washer and dryer, because the home is coming with a washer and dryer, but it's very old. Put it to like that. It's a very old washer and dryer. So obviously I'm going to keep it while I save for a new one, because it's very old, the technology. I don't know how good it's going to wash the clothes. How good the dryer, how efficient it is. So I'll keep it for a short period of time until I could somehow save and get one. But that'll be secondary if they're liquidating stuff. So we will see. I'll definitely be keeping an eye out on this. Okay, moving right along. What else do we have? Stocks while confidence falls. I've been curious to get into the stock market, but never did. I don't think I want to. I'm not going to even attempt it. I'm just not. I don't know why speaking of the stock market just brought this thing into my mind, but my friend, he's more into conspiracy theories. He called me up, hey Ray, hey dude, guess what's going on, man? I was like, what's going on? He said, dude, Bank of America ATM, they have a disclaimer on their ATMs now. It says that your money might not be readily available to you. Dude, it's my money, man. I was like, I know, that's crazy, right? I was like, yeah. So I tried to look it up. I can't find anything. So I was reluctant to mention it. So that's all I'm going to say about it until I find more evidence. So, let's see. Americans' confidence in the economy falls again and is at the lowest level since the summer. Okay, what happened? Consumer confidence doesn't take its cues directly from what's happening on Wall Street, but the stock market's plunge in the past few months is likely reshaping how Americans view the economy. Wall Street jitters about the U.S. economy might also be weighing on the minds of Americans. Not weighing on my mind at all. Let's see, what else we got here? What else we got, man? Sell signal puts Michael Cohen near Prague around time of purported Russian meeting? Michael Cohen. That's a slime ball, isn't it? Let's see. Sell signals put Cohen outside Prague around time of purported Russian meeting. A mobile phone traced to President Donald Trump's former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, briefly sent signals ricocheting off cell towers in the Prague area in the late summer of 2016 at the height of the presidential campaign, leaving an electronic record to support claims that Cohen met secretly with Russian officials. Four people with knowledge of the matter say, during the same period of late August or early September, electronic eavesdropping by an Eastern European intelligence agency picked up a conversation among Russians, one of whom remarked that Cohen was in Prague. Two people familiar with the incident said. The phone and surveillance data, which have not previously been disclosed, lend new credence to a key part of the former British spy dossiers of Kremlin intelligence describing purported coordination between Trump's campaign and Russians' election meddling operation. The dossier, which Trump has dismissed as a pile of garbage, I call it a pile of excrement. And Cohen and blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I don't give a damn. Y'all heard? Okay. Disgrace fixer denies. What is this? Resurrected controversy met with skepticism. This must be all. I don't care. I'm going to gloss right over that because I don't care. Man hunt for illegal immigrant accused of killing a cop. 1,000 migrants released in Texas and New Mexico. Update. Putin setting up nuke bomber base on Caribbean island. Declares new hypersonic weapon is impossible to intercept. Oh man, it's just too much, man. How Trump's covert Iraq trip was exposed. Let's see. CNN, it was a crisp winter morning in Sheffield, England, when amateur photographer and plane enthusiast Alan Malloy looked out his kitchen window and noticed a large trail in the sky. He didn't know he was about to accidentally help uncover a highly sensitive secret presidential trip to a conflict zone. About 6 hours before Malloy's discovery, President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump were quietly whisked out of the White House under the cover of darkness on Christmas night for a trip to Iraq. I literally stepped out and I could see a trail coming towards me and thought, let's have a look at what's on the end of that. And then I looked through the viewfinder and thought, this is worth photographing. It's not just a normal airliner, Malloy told CNN. It was that moment that the almost retired IT project manager, who has been spotting planes for 40 years and enjoys keeping an eye on in the sky, knew he was looking at something unique when he saw a distant color scheme on the plane. I absolutely I was absolutely amazed when that came past. Okay, I don't know why this is doing that. There you go. Okay, so what else we have here? NBC News standing by misleading story. Let's see what the misleading story is this time. Following backlash, NBC revises story about Trump's Christmas time visit to Iraq. NBC News has changed its headline to this formation. Trump becomes first president since 2002 to visit troops on the on or before Christmas. Better not best. The new version also includes an expanded editor's note explaining all the changes needed to align the pieces with Trump's unannounced departure. Is this any surprise that they soldier says, I came back into the military because of you. I'm assuming he's talking to Trump. Amazing moment. U.S. soldier in Iraq tells President Trump, I came back into the military because of you. Wow, that's deep. That's very deep. Very deep indeed. Okay, tweets. Reveals secretive SEAL team. Let's see. Shortly after his first visit to U.S. troops stationed in the war zone, President Trump posted a video that showed him posting pictures with the servicemen, SEAL Team 5, without sealing their faces. Trump had been criticized for that. Hey, what else do we have here? Iraq demands U.S. troops withdraw. Bloomberg prepared to spend at least $100 million on 20 campaign. Don't care. Top Bernie supporters won't commit to supporting him. California moves up primary, wants bigger impact. AP says 30% of Latinos vote Republican. That's very good. Very good. Very good. Disinformation campaign against Roy Moore may have violated the law. Alabama AG says virus sending infants to intensive care. What else do we want? I'm reading some headlines because I'm not going to open everything. If it interests me, I'm going to open it. Because if it don't interest me and I open it, you're going to be bored. And I'm going to be bored. And who wants to be bored? I don't want to be bored. Do you want to be bored? No, I don't want to be bored. Do you want me? No. And it's Friday. No one wants to be bored on a Friday. Trump presidency has changed Washington. Defied convention. What else? Saudi King orders major government reshuffle. After 60 years of revolution in Cuba, cracks in leadership emerge. Depression, anxiety, withdrawal. The hell of trying to quit vaping? Nah, I will not listen to you. In fact, I'm gonna vape right now. Let me, my click. Can you hear that click? I'm about to vape. You hear that clicking? All right, let's see, 76 watts. Pop the juice in there. You think I'm kidding? Listen to the pop. You hear that? That's a vape, baby. Oh, all right. Sorry, folks, had to do it. All right, yummy. Okay, it says, depression, anxiety, nicotine withdrawal, trying to quit vaping was hell. Andrea Nick quit vaping in August. Oh man, the 39-year-old Kansas City man says it was hell. The mortgage broker was depressed for 3 days. He felt a void in his life. It's delicious. It's too attractive, he says. You don't make something you can vape in a watermelon flavor and think people aren't going to do it all the time. Vaping did help me stop smoking, a habit since he was 17. Let's see. But it can be so hard for users to wean themselves off vaping that the Food and Drug Administration is considering some addiction specialists are questioning whether it's the best way to stop smoking. Yes, it is. Don't you do it! I am very angry because Big Cigarette are the ones that's pushing this. I know they are. Big tobacco lobbyists. So don't give me the crap, okay? Okay, got that out of my system. Moving right along. Let's see. Grind takes mental, physical toll, fake moon landings, flat earth. Okay, this is something that's up my friend, the one that I was telling you about that's into conspiracy theories. How could you think that the earth is flat? I'm sorry, my friend. Dude, it's flat, man. It's not flat, dude. You shut up without that. Okay, so I'm not gonna even read that. I am just not gonna read that. It's impossible. The earth is flat. Okay, yeah. Keep going to the end till you fall off. Yeah, dude, I'm gonna fall off. Oh, it's the aliens. Anyway, let's see what else we got. Rough year for universal basic income experiments. Things that make you go, what's this? Gallup poll says, Michelle Obama ends Hillary run as most admired. Who admires her? I certainly don't admire her. Do you admire her? Because I know I don't admire her. Who would admire her? Who would admire her? No, seriously, I'm asking, who would admire her? Do you admire her? Because I don't admire her at all. Not in 50 million years would I admire Michelle Mabelle. Michelle Mabelle.
Zuckerberg.
A first of its kind, an intelligent machine with the ultimate intent to conquer all and reign supreme. Go online, have a look. By a Zuck, they are in beta, so there is a few small bugs like constant misuse of your data.
Inside Facebook's secret rulebook for global political speech. Under fire for stirring up distrust and violence, the social network has vowed to police its users. But leaked documents raise serious questions about their approach. Let's see here. In a glass conference room at its California headquarters, Facebook is taking on the bonfires of hate and misinformation it has helped fuel across the world, one post at a time. The social network has drawn criticism for undermining democracy and for provoking bloodshed in societies small and large. But for Facebook, it's also a business problem. The company, which makes about $5 billion in profit per quarter, has to show that it is serious about removing dangerous content. It must also continue to attract more users from more countries and try to keep them on the site longer. How can Facebook monitor billions of posts per day in over 100 languages, all without disturbing the endless expansion that is core to its business? The company's solution, a network of workers using a maze of PowerPoint slides spelling out what's forbidden. Every other Tuesday morning, several dozen Facebook employees gather over breakfast to come up with the rules hashing out what the site's 2 billion users should be allowed to say. I know none of us are conservatives. The guidelines that emerge from the meetings are sent out to 7,500 plus moderators around the world. The closely held rules are extensive, and they make the company a far more powerful arbiter of global speech than has been publicly recognized or acknowledged by the company itself, the New York Times has found out. The Times was provided with more than 1,400 pages from the rule books by the employee who said he feared that the company was exercising too much power with too little oversight and making too many mistakes. An examination of the files revealed numerous gaps, biases, and outright errors as Facebook employees grope for the right answers. They have allowed extremist language to flourish in there, in some countries, while censoring mainstream speech in others. You can't do that. You have to be across the board one way, you idiots. Moderators were once told, for example, to remove fundraising appeals for volcano victims in Indonesia because a co-sponsor of the drive was on Facebook's internal list of banned groups. Paperwork error allowed a prominent extremist group accused of fomenting genocide to stay on the platform for months. In India, moderators were mistakenly told to take down comments critical of religion. The fake book employees who met to set the guidelines, mostly young engineers and lawyers, try to distill highly complex issues into simple yes or no rules. Then the company outsources much of the actual post-by-post moderation to companies that enlisted largely unskilled workers, many hired out of call centers. Yep, no wonder it sucks. Speaking of which, I don't know how this person got my number, but this it was one of these I don't even know who it was, one of those telemarketers, I believe it was, and they keep calling me, and I finally answer, and I said, "Listen, biatch, why do you keep calling me?" And so she hung up on me, and so I called back, and someone else, no, actually, yeah, she did hang up on me, so I called back, and someone else picked up the phone, another lady again, ironically. So I said, she said, "How can I help you?" I said, "The last biatch I talked to hung up on me," and she, without delay, said, "Oh, your mother hung up on you?" I was like, "What did you just say to me? You stinking freaking whore, bleep, 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 bleep." And then she hung up on me, and they never called back again. So that was good. Okay, so continue with the Zucky story here. Let's see here. Those moderators, at times relying on Google Translate, have mere seconds to recall countless rules and apply them to the hundreds of posts that dash across their screens each day. That's stupid. It's not going to work. When is a reference to jihad, for example, forbidden? When is a crying laughter emoji a warning sign? This is dumb. It's not going to work. Moderators express frustration at rules they say don't always make sense, and sometimes require them to leave a post they fear could lead to violence. You feel like you kill someone by not acting, one said. Facebook executives say they are working diligently to rid the platform of dangerous posts. Translation, conservatives. I'm not going to read anymore. I'm done with you. Suck, you suck, Zuckerberg, suck, Zuckerberg, suck, you suck, you suck, Zuckerberg, suck, you suck, you suck, you stink, you dirty Zuck, you suck, you sucky, sucky, suck, you suck, you suck, Zuckerberg. Alright, that's enough about sucky Zucky. I'm sick of you, sick of all of you, everyone. Okay, Vegas plans New Year's Eve blowout to rival the New York City one. I don't go to those things. I really don't go to those things at all. SWAT officer ends hours long standoff by signing White Christmas to suspect. Huh? Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Let's read that headline again. SWAT officer ends hours long standoff by singing White Christmas, the suspect. Okay, this seems, let's see what this is all about. What is this all about? Is this real? Okay, the suspect's name is Oh, Nathaniel Lewis. Oh, so a Christmas Day barricade situation ended in an unusual manner after the East Vincent Township SWAT team used a different tactic, singing a Christmas carol. The incident began when family members called police to the home of the 34-year-old Nathaniel Lewis, a member of the Pennsylvania National Guard. An hours-long standoff ensued, with Lewis firing at police officers from a second-story bedroom. Bullets struck the sides of the armored police vehicle, a civilian's vehicle, and a nearby home. We were putting our kids to bed around 9 and heard what we thought was fireworks, said the neighbor, Megan Flynn. Megan and Matthew Flynn said a SWAT team rushed them and the kids into a basement, saying they were responding to a barricade situation with their neighbor. Let me stop right there. This is another big plus why I'm going to be happy I'm going to be a homeowner, because I live here in an apartment, and if a situation happens, I have no basement to run to. Let's say there's a tornado, which has happened and occurred here in New England, so don't say it can't happen. A tornado occurs, I can run down to my basement. So anyway, let's get back to the story. Chester County District Attorney Tom Hogan says police initially conducted a wellness check of Lewis after his wife asked for a separation. Oh boy. Lewis refused to come out of the house and then took his rifle, firing some 20 shots at officers outside. Nearly 9 hours later, Lewis demanded a negotiator sing him White Christmas. 4 verses later, Lewis came out. Wow, that is bizarre. This is as close to a Christmas miracle as you're gonna get. Everybody got to go home to their families that day. The SWAT team got to go to their families. The defendant was taken into custody, but he wasn't killed, said Hogan. Lewis was taken into custody at 7 a.m. on Wednesday. He's charged with multiple counts of attempted homicide, aggravated assault, and other offenses. Wow, that is something. That is definitely something. What is this? Abuse of power, racism, Olympic gold medalist rips referee. All right, come on, let's see what. Oh, abuse of power, racism, Olympic gold medalist rips referee who made NJ wrestler cut dreadlocks. Well, let's read the story. Let's see if we think it was racist. And I will read it right after this.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops listen, and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow, the snow. But then I am dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright. And may all your Christmases be white.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write.
sister who tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear. Bells of party rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way. Holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Welcome back. I'm sorry, I'm not going to go into the story that I was going to go into. I lost it, so I'm going to go into the main topic. And let's start with this song, because this is what it's about. Ex-friend, this is for you. Can't believe you. Should have trusted my instinct and should have never became friends. But anyway. This is not English. Albania. Ex-best friend got me into it. Could use his help right now. Criminals. So today I want to talk about criminals thinks differently. Understand them and remain armed. So that is what I am going to discuss right now. So how do you get to know them and become and arm yourself? Well, this story is from Ammo Land. In the past years or so, 8 terrible mass shooting events have been reported in the US, with 99 people killed and 131 seriously injured. Just last month, the deadliest shooting spree in the US left 50 people dead and 53 wounded in an Orlando nightclub. The shooter had declared alliance to the radical Islamic State. There are others, not as dramatized or reported, involving others killed or wounded. So let's get to the psychopaths are not mentally disabled and usually do not lose contact with reality. This is complex and involves much medical expertise. So be careful with your conclusions and stereotyping. This is just a generalized summary to help us lay people. Understand that I want to help with a broad baseline understanding what are some of the common criminal antisocial behavioral traits of both psychopath and sociopath. The American Psychiatric Association Manual of Mental Disorder, 5th edition 2013, gives some generalized common traits. Common behavioral traits of antisocial criminals. Disregard for laws and social mores. Disregard for the rights of others. Failure to feel remorse or guilt. Motivated by self-centered greed or revenge to commit crimes. Tendency to display violent behavior. Well, I think this describes my ex-friend to a T. I definitely did not want to be friends with him. Let me put it right out there. My spidey senses, for lack of a better word, knew that I shouldn't be friends with him, but I was sort of like, okay, I'm just gonna give the guy a chance. I'm not gonna listen to my inner spidey senses, and boy was I wrong, because he turned out to be next. Sociopath, no sense of responsibility. That's him. Emotionally immature. Oh my gosh, this is him. With excessive risk taken, easily agitated and volatile, highly impulsive and erratic. This describes him. Obviously, I'm not going to say his name here. Capable of empathy and relationships. With me, it was definitely okay. So I don't want to get into it, personal stuff. Commit haphazard, spontaneous, and violent crimes like murder. Well, he hasn't gone that far yet. Self-centered priorities, yep. Form attachment to like-minded group. This is a part where I don't understand, why did he like me so much? I am not like-minded like him at all. I am not, so I don't understand. Okay, so that was a sociopath. So he has elements of antisocial criminals and sociopaths. Not all, everything in there, but he has elements of both of those so far. Psychopath, very manipulative and easily gain people's trust, believe they are smarter and more powerful than they really are. Elements of that is true about him. He thought he was more powerful than he really was. He did gain people's trust, and idiots believed him, which I didn't. That's why I fell out of friendship with him before. I just knew. He appears normal to unsuspecting people. It's true. But I saw right through him. I could see that he was, something was wrong with him. Our calm, cool, control, yeah, and carefully planned details in advance. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Lack empathy, morality, and concern for others. Incapable of lasting love and relationships. I think so. Disassociate emotionally from their actions, are unremorseful without guilt because of alliances. Often commit crimes for the thrill, lie, steal, and murder. E.g. serial killers. Always recognize that guns do not kill people, but rather derange people kill others through their usual conscious and negative irrational efforts to use weapons in an evil way. Understanding the criminal mind. It is very important for us to understand the criminal mindset, their motivations and behaviors, as well as our own goals, motivation, skills, and behaviors for critical decisions we must make in an unplanned encounter. It is important to think ahead and anticipate such possible encounters and our range of choices for responding to a particular situation as much as this is possible. Of course, it's not possible to anticipate all possible assaults, encounters, and situations, but generally we must decide ahead if we have the mindset for shooting someone. So I don't think that this particular ex-friend that I'm talking about, I don't think that he would shoot someone. But then again, I don't know. I do know that he would do other things, and he's done other things. And yeah, I think it's horrible, but I think that he's going to, hopefully he learned from his mistake. And I have to remain vague because there's too many things that I shouldn't, it's inappropriate for me to talk about. So I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Okay, so let's really quickly glance through, see if there's anything else in the news. Anything else in the news? Anything else in the news? I'm not seeing anything. So I think it's time to end this Friday show so you could get to drinking and doing whatever you do on the weekend. So let's end it with this song dedicated to my ex-friend. Happy Friday. Hope you enjoyed the weekend. Don't be a criminal like my ex-friend. Cheers. Have a good weekend.
The segment Calling the Kettle Black. First of all, I'm not calling you black.
You're unbelievable.
What I'm trying to do is get a clarification on your stance on the things that you have made known. And that is not calling the kettle black.
All right, so I'm going to give Rayshawn 1 minute to respond to that.
I'm absolutely outraged by what he just said, that a fetus is less significant than pet. I just, it's hard for me to even compose myself in a civilized manner by what he just said there. A fetus is more insignificant than a peck? Are you kidding me? Keep it. Okay, here.
Exciting talk show that educates listeners while giving common sense opinion on politics, news, and a variety of topics. Be a guest on our show by visiting politicalbombshow.cf. Be a guest on our show by visiting politicalbombshow.cf.
Here we go! Friday, Friday. I'm so happy it's Friday, Friday, Friday. I'm so happy it's Friday.